The following program is sponsored by Friends of Life Outreach International. Next on Life Today, Lila Rose led an undercover investigation posing as an underage girl seeking an abortion at the nation's largest abortion chain.
And I said, you know, he's a lot older. He's 23. I'm indicating statutory rape. She looked at me and she said, lie on the paperwork, say that you're older than you really are, and nobody needs to know about your abortion. We won't tell anybody.
Exposing the lies in the abortion industry, next.
Thank you very much. Thank all of you, and it's a joy to come into your home. I'm James Robinson. Better than I welcome you to Life Today. We have a very special guest today, and we're going to be talking about life, and we're going to be talking about concerns that relate to our nation and to our future. As a matter of fact, to the well-being of everyone who believes faith is important, family is important, which would include marriage as important, and freedom, which I believe also includes a healthy economy and a healthy free market. I've written a book with Jay Richards titled Indivisible. It's been a New York Times bestseller for some time. I want you to get the book because we literally call to your attention every issue about which we should be praying and deeply concerned. But we also give a thorough understanding of why these issues matter and how, if inappropriately addressed, lead to catastrophic consequences. And we're seeing that, and it's going to intensify. And the book is in the bookstores. I would highly encourage every priest, every pastor, every business leader, business owner, corporate leader, and every employee, read the book. Pray about the issues. One of the major issues we talk about is choosing life. One of the most powerful voices in our day in behalf of life and to try to inform, educate, and inspire people concerning the awful plague in our nation that is crippling us, and that is the rampant abortion and devaluing of life. We're not only killing babies, we're destroying everything of value because we have made the wrong choices. They need to be corrected. Lila Rose is here. Would you welcome Lila Rose to the table? I have watched you on many national programs, and I've appreciated your stand for life. I have been amazed at some of the things you've done to expose what's actually going on in, quote, the abortion industry. And would you agree that's basically what it has become?
Absolutely. It's the abortion industry at large in our country. It's headed by Planned Parenthood. And one of their first and biggest lies is that they're pro-women, that they're somehow doing this on behalf of women. But what they're really doing is killing millions of tiny little women in the womb across the world every year and hurting millions more, their mothers and little boys and fathers too.
What made you so zealous about this, and when did it start for you? Because you're a very young woman, and I know you were very active while you were at UCLA, and you actually did quite a bit to expose the extremes within the industry and show exactly what's going on and some of the attitude. And, of course, that attitude that you revealed and exposed would not be necessarily indicative of everyone. Right. But it certainly shows the extremes to which people will go once they start devaluing life. When did you become interested in it?
Sure. Well, I became interested first when I was about 9 years old. That's when I first found out about abortion. I was raised in a Christian family, and I'm one of eight kids, so that should say something. My parents were very pro-life, but I'd heard about abortion at the dinner table, or I'd heard about it, but I didn't really know what it was. And one day I came across a book in my parents' living room at the bottom shelf, and I was nine. I was curious, pulled it open. It's called A Handbook on Abortion by Dr. and Mrs. Wilkie. And I remember looking at the cover and seeing this very serious-looking woman, and I remember thinking, this must be from the 80s or something. This is a history book. So I pulled it out. Not that that was that long ago, but for me, it was old. I pulled it out, and I opened it up, and there were these images. And I was horrified by what I was looking at. I was looking at the image of a child that had been maybe only 10 weeks old, first trimester, little arms, little legs, newly forming little face, but that baby had been the victim of an abortion. And as a 9-year-old girl looking at this image, I just thought, my heart was touched, and I just thought, how could anybody do this to a baby? Is this real? Is this really happening? And from that moment, as I began to learn more about it and learned that there were almost 4,000 of these every day, that it was legal since 1973, that this was a Holocaust in our country, my heart was convicted, and I just thought, I want to do something. God, show me how I can get involved. Show me what I can do.
In college, what happened?
Well, I got to UCLA, very excited to start a live action chapter there. Not exactly the most pro-life school, as you might imagine, but excited to try to reach my fellow students with the truth about life.
And let me just insert here that live action is her organization that she started. In other words, she's taking action in behalf of life, and it is live action, and it's very much alive in the purpose of keeping life, and there is the website there on the screen, and I would highly suggest you check it out, and I'm sure there's material there. She's actually going to be with us for another program this week, but you're going to find that she may have some material there that you would want to share in various civic organizations or in your church. Or your synagogue, and just say, let's just let people see what's going on, because we really do need to make a turn. So here you are now. You've got this organization that you started.
Yep. And the goal was to reach my fellow students at UCLA, because so many of them just didn't know the truth about abortion. And young people, you know, we're hungry for the truth. Mm-hmm. And on college, high school campuses, junior high, but we've been lied to. And we've also faced tough life experiences that make us maybe harden our hearts or make us not want to hear the truth when it does come our way. And so I learned pretty quickly that the students on my school were very much given this message by groups like Planned Parenthood, the biggest abortion chain in our country. They're very prestigious, very politically powerful.
Receive a tremendous amount of tax dollars.
Exactly.
Which means it's our dollars, those of us who don't agree with all the things that they're doing at all, and yet we're funding it, not with permission. And, you know, I don't get real happy, and I love to give. I love to give to worthy causes. I live to give. I enjoy sharing. I'm full of life. But I'm not real happy about writing a check to our federal government when it's being misused in any way and being mismanaged.
Exactly.
Does that disturb you? Well, who do you think is going to correct that? I'm talking to you. Mm-hmm. Well.
And it's shocking, but in just the last year, the money they're getting has gone up from the federal level, and they got almost $500 million. The biggest abortion chain in our country, Planned Parenthood, they do over 300,000 abortions. They kill 300,000 people every year in our nation, legally. And they're getting almost $500 million from us, from taxpayers, to do it. And they're in our schools, they're on our college campuses, they're at UCLA promoting internships and things like this, and they're trying to build bridges with young people to encourage them to live lifestyles that are sexually promiscuous, saying that experiment, sex outside of marriage is good, actually. And then they're also promoting abortion as a way to deal with pregnancy, saying, oh, pregnancy is this bad thing, it's a disease, something that bad that happens to you, so if you get pregnant, just come over and we'll give you an abortion, no questions asked. And that's the system they set up. So when I first got to UCLA, I just thought, I want to find a way to expose this. I want to find a way to communicate what's really happening to my peers, because so many of them just didn't realize that Planned Parenthood was not their friend, that Planned Parenthood is a group that is killing innocent human beings, they're perpetrating a human rights abuse, and they're also victimizing women. They're hurting women, and they're hurting women that are the victims of abuse. And so that was my first investigation, was to pose as the abuse victim who was facing an unplanned pregnancy and asking for help at a local Planned Parenthood clinic.
And did you go in and act like you were in need of an abortion, possibly?
Exactly.
And did you portray a certain age? How old did you present yourself?
Well, it wasn't that hard, because I was posing as a 15-year-old, and I was 18 at the time, so I didn't have to act too much, but I just went in and I said, you know, I'm 15, I had some flip-flops on, a t-shirt looking, trying to look younger, and I had a camcorder in my purse. And this was before we used, you know, now we've upgraded to police quality undercover equipment and we've kind of figured it out better. But at the beginning, I was just, what are they gonna say to me? And I walked into that first abortion clinic, and it was in on 3rd Street, Santa Monica Promenade, a beautiful shopping area in LA. And they have a Planned Parenthood clinic right by a coffee shop on the second story. And I walk in, and I tell the clinician at the front desk, I say, I'm 15, what do I do? She says, oh, let me talk to you behind the counter, because she must get a lot of young girls. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know, he's a lot older, he's 23. I'm indicating statutory rape. And they're required to immediately report this to the police, to Child Protective Services. But instead, the Planned Parenthood worker, when I said that, she looked at me and she said, just figure out a birth date that works. Lie on the paperwork, say that you're older than you really are, and nobody needs to know about your abortion. We won't tell anybody. And that was my first piece of advice at an abortion clinic. We won't tell anyone. You can go back with the 23-year-old guy. It doesn't matter. And we'll give you that secret abortion.
Maddie, what do you think when you hear this?
It's just astounding that we've come to this place in our society that, as you said earlier, it was they would say, don't change your lifestyle. We can always help take care of any problem
exactly.
you run into. That, to me, that's very, very sad in the first place, that it's whatever feels good is okay.
Right.
If you run into a problem, we can fix that. But it just breaks my heart that it is a business, isn't mm-hmm. it?
Absolutely.
When you go, just like you walked in there, I mean, they weren't concerned at all about the emotional side of it or the fact that you would be taking a life.
And they weren't concerned about the law.
About the abuser. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can.
What I said in the beginning of the program, you know, when you diminish the value of life, you disregard everything of value, including the law. You do whatever you need to do to keep whatever you're doing going. But what do you think the American people should do about this? I mean, can the American people do anything about it, or are we just helpless?
Absolutely. I mean, right now, first off, I believe in the pro-life movement, in the movement for life, for family, for freedom in our country. We have victory is within our reach. I think we can have an amendment to our U.S. Constitution. I think what's happening among young people, where the conversions, not only conversions to Christ, but conversions to life, to the culture of life, to being pro-life. More young people identify as being pro-life now than being pro-choice. The recent polls say they're among the biggest pro-life demographic in our country. So there's so much momentum for life and for good. And now people, you know, maybe watching this program, people who care about life, who care about faith, now more than ever, we need to be standing up, getting politically involved, making sure our churches, our faith communities are involved, making sure that young people have the message of truth. We have a pro-life magazine that we distribute and that we'll send to young people for free. We're doing stuff all the time online, getting out the truth through visual media. There's so many ways to get involved with local pro-life organizations, local community pregnancy centers. The opportunities are endless, but more than ever, people need to say, okay, Lord, God, how can I be involved? Kind of examine their lives, examine what they're involved in now, and then be willing to make sacrifices, maybe take some risks to get out there in the fight, because the fight needs all of us to bring us to victory.
Don't you think it's a tactic of the enemy of life, the enemy of truth, to try to get something politicized, even though it's spiritual, moral, it's a matter of life. Mm-hmm. If they can get it politicized, then they think they've discounted, dismissed, or written off, or discouraged people in the faith community and those who are committed to family from being involved because it's become a political issue. Don't you think that has kept a lot of people out of the fray, so to speak, and from speaking? It's why a lot of people are not even registered or involved. They just say, look at all the dirty stuff that goes on politically, so they stay out of it, and it just gets worse. Mm. And don't you think that's the biggest mistake that believers can make, is to stay out of the battle for life and not be involved in choosing our leaders and insisting that we make the right decisions and the right choices? Don't you think the responsibility is on the shoulders of a lot of church people who've not been involved?
Absolutely. I mean, first of all, Christ teaches us to love our neighbor as ourselves, and then he says, whatever you do to the least of these, you do it unto me. So how we are treating the people that are the weakest among us is how Christ says we're treating him. And the way that we're treating the weakest among us is by funding the biggest abortion chain, by allowing politicians to somehow make it okay to have abortion in our country by having a constitution that's not protecting them, and that's having communities that's not caring for our unborn brothers and sisters, allowing the abortion chains to make relationships with our local schools, to have fast tracks for our little girls to have abortions. I mean, it's crazy what we've allowed. Mm-hmm. So I think now more than ever, the church does need to rise up. We need leaders of faith to stand up and say, enough is enough. This is our nation. This is a nation founded under God for the protection of human life, because they're endowed by their creator with these rights. And we need to remind people that this is a country that is based on Judeo-Christian values, that the reason that we're great is because we value human life. We see human beings as made in the image of God, human beings as stamped with that beautiful mark of the creator God. And we need to remind people of that, because otherwise our nation won't succeed, and the liberties that we've gotten to enjoy, and I've gotten to enjoy even, we're gonna be losing them. And so I think more than ever, people need to rise up, and young people want to be led and want to follow the example of the older generations who stand up. So whatever you do, you're setting an example. You've set an example for millions with your ministry and with your love for each other and with the way you've touched the world. And young people take notice, and we want to be inspired, we want to be led, we want to be a part of the fight too. So this is a responsibility for everyone.
We set examples by not doing something too, don't we?
Exactly.
Just as much. We say, oh, I'm not going to vote for that person, I'm not going to vote for that. You know, I just won't vote. Well, you are voting by not voting. You're saying, that's okay with me. You can do that, you know. Mm-hmm. And we're just passively letting go by. My little family's okay. But someday they might not be okay, because how can you separate what's happening in the world from the family?
The German pastor Bonhoeffer said, not to act is to act, not to speak is to speak. And we've got a lot of people who are choosing not to act. And listen, the abortion issue is a major part of all of our problems. God says that your sins have separated between you and your God. The problem is that you have rebelled, and in that list of sins in Isaiah, in that specific context, he says you shed innocent blood. Where can there be more innocent blood than in the womb? What do you say to a woman who says to you, it's my body, it's my right, my body. I have the right to choose. What do you say to her?
Right. Well, first of all, there women that say that and men that support that, there's a few things that they're not understanding. First of all, yes, women, it's our body, it's our choice. I mean, yeah, we should have the freedom to do what we want with our bodies to an extent where it doesn't hurt somebody else's freedom to be born or to live or to practice their freedom. So rights have to have a limit. I don't have an absolute right to do whatever I want. And nobody has ever, we shouldn't be teaching that to people. And so a woman's right to do what she wants with her body, et cetera, stops when it starts to hurt somebody else's right to live, to life. And that unborn child has a right to life. That unborn child has a right to enjoy life and the freedoms that we have in this country. And so my right to my body stops where it's gonna hurt another person. And that's the lesson, that's from a perspective of human rights, but there's that deeper perspective of dignity. And the dignity of a woman, I mean, if a woman is pregnant, a woman needs to be cared for, needs to be loved, needs to be supported, but it's against our dignity as women. And this is where some of the ideology out there that claims to be feminist, that claims to be pro-women, is so bent and broken. They somehow preach and teach that being a woman, being, you know, living out your womanness, your femininity, is to choose an abortion so you can go on to have your career or go on to do what you want with your life. Choosing an abortion, having an abortion, is against our dignity as women.
I agree.
Our dignity as women is to be nurturers, to be beautiful creators, to give life to the world and serve and love other people. And hurting that unborn child is against our dignity as women, as potential mothers.
I agree. You agree with what Lila's saying. I don't know how anyone can question. I thank God for what she's doing. Lila, I was listening to you there, and I felt like you were preaching out of the book Indivisible that Jay and I've written, honestly. Because what you were talking about, a major part of the book is talking about life.
Wonderful.
And right to life. But we also literally show people how an upside-down worldview, where God's on the bottom, not acknowledged, disregarded, and everything sacred is being trampled down. When you have that upside-down worldview, everything is flipped. And everything of value is devalued. We're making a terrible mistake. There is Lila's website address. She's going to be back with us in another program, and we're going to actually show you, or you can see on footage, what girls are being told. We're going to show you in another program what a pimp bringing underage girls in order to use them in sex and sets up with an abortion clinic to be sure you can handle the difficulty. You'll see that in another program. Lila, Betty and I have been spending our life together sharing life. We not only have 3 children, 11 beautiful grandchildren, but we have spent our life sharing Christ with people, but also rescuing people and giving them food, drilling water wells because of you. I honestly believe this. We are blessed to communicate with as great an audience of people as there are on the planet. And you're all around the world who pray with us and for us. Thank you. But I really believe you identify with the heart of God, and I believe you're praying about the things that we bring to you. I know what you're about to see. You are the answer to the need you see. And we've got an immediate cure, an immediate correction. I want you to watch closely, and then I ask you to respond as God directs. I think you're going to be anxious to. You saw those children fighting for the food that they stood in line to get. Did you know that right there where you were just watching in Sudan just recently, our mission team reported to us that of the children trying to get to the lines to get the food, 2 children were dying every day. As you looked at that clip, you saw the 3 children there with the little beautiful orange bowls that you, the viewers, told us you wanted to give them, heat resistant. And you saw those 3 children, Betty, that's one person, $30 feeds those 3. Then you saw the bowls disappear. That's what happens every 6 months in the cycle of feeding, because we come to you, our viewers, every 6 months, and we ask you to help us feed those children for the next months. And then Betty and I are working continually and doing special and outreaches to get enough money to feed between the feeding emphasis. Would you help us put food in those bowls? Would you assure the missionaries they're not going to run out? They're going to have the food? Would you dial the telephone number there on the screen? If your heart was broken and you needed prayer, you call at any time. It's paid for by love. We'll pray for you, pray with you. We care about you. Right now, that number's there as a lifeline. We're asking you to help us feed hundreds of thousands of children, just like those you saw in Sudan, all over Africa. And you see them 3 at a time, 5 at a time, 10 at a time. And here's the amazing thing. For $30, we can feed 3 of those children for several months. For $50, we can feed 5. For $100, we can feed 10. $1,000, we can feed 100. It's not total life support. It's not everything children need. But it stabilizes their diet. It gets them healthy. It gets them on their feet. And then we teach them how to live and ultimately how to make a living. And it's a miraculous transformation. It is where the compassion connection brings the necessary healing. But without you, and the missionaries say, you're the key. You're the greatest Christians. I always say the missionaries are. They say, no, the people that enable us to do what we do, they're the greatest Christians. Would you dial the number and take your bank card and use it like a check, please? If you can give $100, please do so. Help us feed 10 of those children. If you can give $1,000, do it. $50 will feed 5. $30 will feed 3. We're sending to those of you who would like to have it, the Jesus Storybook for Children. Children's Bible, it is fabulous. for your children or grandchildren, the side-by-side parallel Bible with the New International Version, the New King James Version. Beautiful study Bible. To say thank you for helping us feed 10 children. If you'd like to have the DVD, The Gift of Life, talking about the importance and value of life, request it. We'd be happy to send it to you. Please help us care for as many children as you possibly can.
At this very moment, a child is drawing his last breath, struggling to stay alive due to a lack of food. Sadly, this impoverished child is not alone, and without our help, many like him face death as well. Today, you can make a difference. You can help save a life. Life's Mission Feeding Teams are in place right now, ready to answer the hunger cries of 400,000 suffering children in remote areas of Africa. With previous food reserves gone and parts of Africa facing its worst famine and food shortage in more than two decades, we desperately need to replenish our supplies immediately. Your life-saving gift of $30, $50, or $100 will help feed and care for 3, 5, or 10 children for 3 full months. With your gift, we'll send you the Jesus Storybook Bible. This beautifully illustrated book will help your children discover for themselves that Jesus is at the center of God's great story of salvation and at the center of their lives, too. With your gift of $100 or more to help feed 10 children, you may request our New International Version and New King James Side-by-Side Bible with a two-column format for easy comparison. Finally, please prayerfully consider a gift of $1,000 or more to help feed and save the lives of 100 children. And you may also request the Lion and the Lamb bronze sculpture. Please call, write, or make your gift online today.
And I do hope many of you have actually asked for the beautiful collectible, the art piece, the Lion and the Lamb, the bronze. By making a gift that will enable us to feed 100 children or several hundred children. If you'd like to have the DVD, The Gift of Life, it's something you'll want to share with your church or your Bible study group, I'm certain. Ask for it. We'll be glad to send it to you. Lila, we want to say thank you and we really bless you in your journey and what you're
thank
doing
you.
Because you are really a treasure in this day. Would you join us saying thanks, Lila?
Thank you.
Thank you.
There
is Lila's website address. If you want to know how you can get involved with her very directly in winning some real major victories, then you do it. Thanks for watching.
Tomorrow, after leading an undercover investigation, Lila Rose exposes the nation's largest abortion chain participating in sex trafficking. Life Today is made possible by the supporters of Life Outreach International. Your gift will be used exclusively for the exempt purposes of life. The ministry features specific outreaches as examples of the programs it supports and conducts. Gifts are considered to be without restriction as to use unless explicitly stipulated by the donor. The ministry is a member of the ECFA.